with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN.
Did you see your brother from another mother, Roquan Smith, threw out the first pitch at the White Sox game over the weekend?
I ain't got no big deal.
That's right.
No big deal.
Georgia boy.
Yeah. Exciting.
And Mr. Farquhar was out there as well.
He was.
Friday night.
Yeah,
yep.
That was emotional.
They have cleared him for baseball. Steve Stone is joining us right now. Steve Stone on baseball, sponsored by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants.
Eat at Shaw's and have the walleye. Had it last night. It was spectacular.
Oh, gee. I don't need any encouragement to eat at Shaw's. I love that place.
Yeah. You know what I like at Shaw's? I like the jambalaya. The jambalaya at Shaw's is some of the best in the northern part of America.
Yeah.
It's hard to get good jambalaya up here, but it's great.
You talked me into that last time we all went up. Yeah.
You talked me into that, too, when we were
delicious.
All there. Clam chowder, pretty spectacular as well.
Yeah.
Crab cakes.
Yeah. Yeah,
soft shell crab.
You see what Steve just did? I mean, forget about baseball. Let's just talk about seafood here for a second.
What's that roll you get, bro? It's so good.
The roll?
Spicy.
They have great sushi there,
they
too.
Do.
Great maki, yeah.
Tuna tacos,
yeah.
Also.
Oh, mm-hmm. It's just the best.
Even the Caesar salad's good there.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And here's the thing. Can I just say?
It's a good combo when you do the crab cake and the Caesar salad.
Now that you've mentioned it, Steve, the Joe's is one of the great restaurants in America, mm-hmm. right? I think we can all agree on that.
Yes, I do.
But if you can't get in because it's hard to get in sometimes, or you want a little more laid back atmosphere,
right.
and the food is just as good, is Shaw's just as good as far
well,
as I'm concerned.
If you have trouble getting into Joe's, just give me a call.
Okay, well, all right, I'll do my best. All right, Mr. Kevin Powell has a question for you.
Where do we start? Okay. We do have the draft tonight, Steve, so maybe we can touch on that in a little bit. But I do want to talk about Carlos Rodon. He's made four rehab starts now, and he's looked pretty good. He's striking out a lot of batters. Many expect him, I guess, long-term, Steve. Where do you project him? Because if some have thought that he has such great stuff that he can be a one or a two or maybe a three in a rotation long-term, one, do you think he's ready to be called back up to the majors after rehabbing from off-season shoulder surgery? And two, do you think Rodon is a guy that can be a two in a rotation of a championship team?
Well, the only real number that counts is when you get the baseball, and the only number you don't want to be is a five, only because they skip your start every now and then, depending on off days and rainouts and things along those lines. So if you're one through four, it really doesn't matter which you're going to go in, because, you know, the first time you start, if you're a one, you're starting against their best guy. It's opening the season, and that's good. Then you usually don't match up like that. So, look, if he's a two, that's terrific. I think he's got great stuff. I think he's got a number one man stuff. His wipeout slider is just unhittable when it's right, and we've seen it at times when it is like that. I don't know if they want to let him extend one more minor league outing or not. Depends on how he came out of the last one, and I really don't know. But he threw it pretty well, and he's thrown it really well each and every time, except for the time he got hit in the head, and then he left in the third inning. But to his credit, he wanted to stay in the game. Obviously, prudence dictated that he came out, and so they did that. But I think he's got a chance to be very good. He's been very good before, and it's just a question of his arm holding together. But the stuff is there. He throws in excess of 95. He can get it up there. We got a couple of different sliders. One he gets over the plate. The other he buries in the dirt. Both exceptional. So the stuff is there. The question is, you know, can he harness the control long term? I think he can. I think he just needs to start in rotation for some time, and then we'll see the best of Carlos.
There, I think, you know, many believe the Sox could go a lot of different routes in the draft tonight, whether it be pitching or positional player, because they've been able to acquire so much talent over the past year and a half, 2 years with trades. Does that allow them the luxury of going that route tonight, whether it's a pitcher or an infielder, whether, you know, they've been linked to a second baseman, but they have Moncada? Does it even matter? Is it just get the most talent you possibly can with that fourth pick tonight?
Well, Nick Hostetler has said that he's going to take the best player available, and it doesn't matter if he happens to throw the ball for a living or if he hits it, if he plays outfield or infield. And it really depends on how they fall. Everybody is thinking Mize is going to go one. Everybody is thinking Bart's going to go two. So let's assume that it's Mize and Bart on the first two picks. Then it really depends on the third pick and who they take. If they take the pitcher out of Florida, that's one thing. If they take the second baseman out of Oregon State, that's something else. I think my personal feeling is maybe Madrigal falls to the Sox at four. Again, it depends on what happens with the third pick. I think the first two are pretty solid at this point. If Bart were to fall to us, he's a wonderful catcher and they love his power. But I just don't think he's going to be there when the Sox take at four. But they're going to get a quality player. There's seven players that are exceptional at the top. I think they stand out against the field. And so I don't think they can go wrong at four. They're obviously putting up guys. They've got guys on their board that they like over other guys. But again, if they're not there, there's not much you can do. But the key to any draft for me is you get your first 10 picks, the first 10 rounds, and everything works out pretty well. You have guys you really like, and maybe of those first 10 rounds, you might have, oh, I don't know, maybe 50 players you've isolated to say, okay, if they're there, then those are the guys that that I'm going to take in the first 10 rounds. Maybe a little bit more than that, maybe 100, maybe 150 guys that you really like. And then the key to a draft is anywhere from 11 to 20. The 11th round to the 20th round, you can get some really good talent, but you're going to take guys that aren't quite good enough to be in that top echelon. But for some reason, maybe they were injured. Maybe you know that they're entirely healthy. Maybe the injury wasn't all that bad. You've got some inside information on a guy. Maybe he's got a tremendous heart and a great baseball acumen, but he's lacking in a little skills. You know, we have a tendency to identify tools. And I think, with all due respect to all scouts, I think a blind man can scout tools. I think it's pretty easy. I think they stand out. It's very, very easy to do that. But the difficult part is understanding the heart of a player, the intensity of a player. Can he bring it every day? What's going to happen when he gets away from home? What's going to happen when he doesn't have his college team or his high school team as a support system for him? When he gets into pro ball with guys that he's never seen before, he's never played with guys from the Dominican Republic, from the Virgin Islands, from the Far East, from all of those things. And can he then adjust? And will he adjust? And that's something that a good scout can tell you because they've gone in, they've researched everything from top to bottom, and you try to get an edge from 11 to 20. To me, that's the key to the draft.
How important is college now compared to when you came out of Kent State in terms of as these general managers are looking at drafts? Is the college game better now for them in terms of assessing talent or about the same, worse?
Well, I think it's spread out. I think there's many more great programs now than there were before. When I went to school, you didn't hear about Oregon State. I mean, that was something that, oh, it was out there, certainly. You knew it was in Oregon. It was way west, but you didn't hear about them as far as dominating any type of college baseball. And the same thing with a lot of teams in the South. You heard about Florida. You heard about Texas. You heard about California. But all of a sudden, in the years after I got signed by the Giants, you heard about the great teams in Mississippi State. You heard about Will Clark, and you heard about Rafael Palmeiro. You heard about Bobby Thigpen. They all played at Mississippi State, and that became a powerhouse. And sequentially, we're seeing more and more teams. Used to be Arizona State dominated. Yeah. Not that way anymore. There's some really good teams in the Pac-12. And the same thing with colleges all over. You find some great programs, and with it, you find great coaches. So I think guys are coming out of baseball now, into baseball rather, with a little bit more of an idea about how to play the game and how to play winning baseball. And then, of course, you get them into your organization and you reteach them. It's kind of like going to college to be a lawyer, then getting into a law firm who reteaches you their way of doing things. The same thing with professional baseball.
So would you suggest...
Not only do you have those college kids. What's that?
If you, the kids, you know, parents of kids came to you and said, you know, my kid, really great high school baseball player, should he go to college or should he go into an instructional league? What would you suggest?
It depends on the maturity of the kid. I don't know that particular kid, but if he's very mature and if you're a high pick, I mean, if you're going to be a one or two, if you're going to get, let's say, $3-4 million as a one, maybe $2 million as a high two, I would say, okay, look, take the money because you never know what happens in 4 years of college. But for the most part, look, I was able to graduate. I got my degree in history and government because I only lacked two quarters after I signed my professional contract. So I was pretty close, and I went back to get it. I never used it because I made a career in professional baseball and in Major League Baseball. However, the odds of doing that are so infinitesimal that I think you have to have a fallback position because these days, if you don't have a college degree, you're not going to do a great deal. I mean, you hear the great Horatio Alger stories about guys with no college degree and then they make, you know, zillions of dollars, and that's great. The odds of that are very, very slim. Same thing with a regular guy who doesn't have off-the-charts intelligence, is not a computer whiz. He's got to get some sort of a degree, and I believe that that's always a safe case, especially if you're getting a scholarship. You know, in some of these high-level schools, you're going to get a scholarship. It might be $70,000 a year. You're going to get a four-year scholarship. That's invaluable to you because, again, odds of making it are so slim. So I was very fortunate. I stayed uninjured. I was able to have a major league career, and that was good. But I still got my college degree just as a fallback position because I didn't know the next pitch, my arm might have fallen off.
It's a good plan, I think.
Yeah.
It's never good when the arm falls off.
No, especially for a pitcher.
No.
Although it's a great highlight reel. All right. As we.
What?
I mean, it is. What? I mean, trust me, they keep showing that Theismann thing over and over again. Ugh. All right, Steve Stone. Thank you very much, my friend. Steve Stone, brought to you by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants, serving Chicago since 1970.
How about that?
How about that? Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir.
Thanks,
have fun,
Steve.
Up
Thanks,
in the Twin
Steve.
Cities.
Okay.
Right.
Have a good one.
Right,
thank you.
There he goes. And we got White Sox baseball, not today, but tomorrow.
A lot of White Sox baseball tomorrow.
Yep. All right. I always like, stay in school, kids. That's the most important thing.
That's right.
There's always these parents, though. They're like, we're moving down to Florida because our son's graduating from high school, and he's going to play pickup baseball, and he's got there's a good coach down there. And, you better
those parents
really,
literally do make the kid throw until his arm falls off, unfortunately.
You do. I'm telling you, you got to really know what you're doing in a situation like that and let the kids. I mean, they got to be super. I mean, there are these camps now, these agents camps.
Yep.
Right,
those exist. There's the biggest one I believe is in Georgia. There's also one down in Florida and Arizona, of course, the hotbed for baseball. But there are a lot of kids who are playing way too much baseball, if you ask me. And the arms, there's an epidemic of Tommy John surgeries in baseball right now because kids are throwing and throwing and throwing and throwing, and they need a new elbow eventually. So, maybe mix it up a little. Maybe play some basketball and some baseball, maybe some soccer.
Would you suggest the football to the kids?
I don't know about that either.
No, I stay away from the football.
Maybe
it's the mom and
football,
me talking.
At least until high school. But what do I know?
Yeah,
I just moved out 6 months ago.
Right.
Less than a row and Anna.
I like golf, actually. Golf
there you go.
Golf's, great profession.
Golf's good. Very hard to be competitive in it, though, at a professional level.
Mm-hmm.
Although you can become a pro.
A pro. That's a great career.
Yeah, I love that career.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to retire to be the ranger.
Right.
I want to be the guy driving around on the cart that's faster than all the other carts.
Got a beverage in the, the kids don't know exactly what's in your beverage, but
right.
You're sipping
it. It looks like it's a coffee, but maybe not.
Maybe an iced tea.
And then you pull up, you got, the foursome in back of you, they're waiting on every shot. You just kind of move along. You just pick up and move to the next hole. I like that.
Tell everybody
idea.
What to do.
I love those guys. Enjoy the nice weather.
Right. And everybody looks, and they all look like they've got skin cancer. There's they pull up and they're like this orange brown color, and then they have Band-Aids all over their face, and you're like, what is that?
I don't use the sunscreen.
Doctor,
oh my gosh,
doctor just told me I'd have that removed.
They do sound like that too. So it's whiskey, cigarettes, and sun is what it is.
Great
that's,
combo.
That's the way I want to go. Without the cigarettes, I'm not so interested.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, gotta pick up the ball now and keep moving along.
That's a good way to wrap things up. I think on the golf course, beautiful out there.
Yeah.
Why not?
Because you drop dead on the golf course. That's like my dream.
Walking down a fairway?
Right.
Sun setting?
Because I imagine heaven just being a golf course.
Exactly.
So, that's how it goes.
And they could spread your ashes right there.
Perfect. A golf course, and I imagine heaven being a golf course where no one's calling you and telling you have to be home.
Roll,
play
like 36
when you want. Yeah.
Dinner is going to be at 6 o'clock. You have to be here because the neighbors are coming over. We're going to have dinner. Like, oh, God, no. All right. Let's check in with Judy right now. Find out what's coming up at the top of the hour in the news.
Good practice for asteroid observers at NASA and elsewhere.
That's very good.
Does that scare you?
Yeah. She stuns me. I go, oh, my God, I got to listen to that. Wait, it's this show. Please.
It's called a tease.
Violetta?